Good morning. My name is Guy Huber. I am your treasurer of your church council now. I would like to welcome everyone to your worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through our live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. Here are the announcements we have this week. Next week at our Sunday forum, a representative of Empire State Northland Workforce Training Center will explain the mission and training available. Programs begin at 9:30 a.m. in the fellowship room. Ash Wednesday is this week. Ashes on the Run will take place in front of on our Main Street side from 7:30 to 9:30 a.m. and there will be a noon service in the chapel, and our evening service with choir will be at 7 p.m. in the main church. Soup and Sandwich Lenten lunches begin this week also in Redeemer Hall following the noon service on Ash Wednesday. The cost is $5 and includes a beverage, and we will continue with our Thursday midday worship service with a lunch to follow also. Finally, many thanks to our guests, our musicians, and the Orchard Park Chorale who are here and will be joining us for this today's service. Also, please check your bulletin for additional announcements. Thank you, and God bless. And all join us afterwards downstairs for a fellowship and a reception for the choral.
be the Holy Trinity, one God, the eternal voice from heaven, the anointed and beloved one, the Spirit moving over the waters. Amen. As we approach the mystery of God, let us come in confession, trusting the love of Christ crucified and risen. God, who searches us and knows us, you have shown us what is good, but we have looked to other lights to find our way. We have not been just in our dealings with others. We have chosen revenge over mercy. We have promoted ourselves instead of walking humbly with you. With what shall we come before you? Forgive us our sin and show us your salvation. In the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved of God, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, poured out for you in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of baptism. You are God's child. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. O God, in the transfiguration of your Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the witness of Moses and Elijah, and in the voice from the bright cloud declaring Jesus your beloved Son, you foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us heirs with Christ of your glory, and bring us to enjoy its fullness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite the young people of the congregation forward for a time with Pastor Lee.
Good morning. Don't just stay down there. Come on, closer. We'll just talk more together. Good morning. High five, the fastest. Shazam. More coming. Is it Shazam? I'm not getting that right. Shazam? Good morning. Do any of you fish? Anybody fish? My grandma Sue taught me how to fish. I was 5 or 6 years old, and my dad was not somebody who fished, and it was my grandma who was around, and she lived by a pond in Florida. So we went out one day to fish, and she would put bread on our hook, so there were no worms. I didn't have to get involved in all of that. Put some bread on the hook, put it out, and I caught a... Now, just when I caught the fish, my grandmother had gone back to her apartment. So I got this fish, I caught it, and the hook was caught in such a way that I did not want to get the hook out of the fish's mouth. So I ran back to get my grandma to see if she would help me out. And you know, by the time we came back, I had a fish on the hook that another fish had come by and swallowed up the fish on my hook. It is not just a fish story. This is the honest truth. But I will always remember that it was my grandma who taught me how to fish. And somehow, even though she died when I was still a young boy, my grandmother always made sure that everything was going to be okay. Whether it was that day fishing when I got into trouble with my fish, or it was any other time, my grandma Sue, has always been a person that's been around me and reminds me, even the mystery of, even though I don't get to see her, she still kind of speaks to me and reminds me that I'm loved. I wonder if you've got anybody like that in your life. Is there someone in your life that just reminds you that you are loved? Who reminds you that you're loved? Your grandma. And same, right? She's got that power and she's still inside of you. Anybody else? And they can be still here with us. They don't have to be because they've passed on.
My whole family.
Your whole family reminds you that you are loved. Awesome. Your mom and dad reminds you. Excellent. Anybody else? Well, so there's this story this morning, and the disciples have been having a bad week. Not just a bad day, but they've been having a bad week. And Jesus brings them up onto a mountaintop all by themselves to have some time together. And Jesus shines bright, and it says he is transfigured, that he just begins to shine light out of him. And there next to Jesus, they see Moses and Elijah, who are just two of the great figures of the Bible. And they remind the disciples, A, that it's going to be okay, that they're never alone, and that even the power of God's love and light can come to them. And it just served as a reminder that no matter what they were facing, that it was going to be okay. So I hope you remember not only the people that you know who are in your heart and in your life who love you, but here too is a place where we are going to remind you just how much you are loved, that you are never alone. And this light and this love, it goes with you. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we give you thanks for all the people that you send in our lives who remind us of your promises, who remind us that we are not alone, who remind us that we are loved. We thank you for this gift of love, that we might have so much that it gives us enough that we can love others and all those we encounter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much. Thanks for coming up this morning. Have a good time in faith formation or with your families. I love the unicorn shoes. Awesome.
The first reading for Transfiguration of Our Lord Sunday is recorded in Exodus, the 24th chapter. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again. For Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading for today is recorded in 2 Peter, the first chapter. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So, we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will. But men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Before I begin, just a special word of thanks, and again, a welcome to the Orchard Park Chorale, to the instrumentalists, brass, who are here this morning. It is a privilege for us to receive you this morning, to share the, in this offering and gift of music that you have, and so we thank you to David and to the whole choir, to friends and family of the choir who are here with us. A special welcome from all of us here at Holy Trinity. We are glad to be in worship with you this morning. Please pray first with me. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, we give you thanks, Lord God, that you have named us and claimed us as your own, that you call each one of us beloved, that you so empower us with your Spirit and gift us with love, that you pour it into us through word and in this holy meal. So fill us and refresh us again, that we might have grace in abundance, that love would flow in our songs, in our lives, pour out from this place and into a whole world in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's that feeling you get when you first receive the news. I was pulling up to the home of a parishioner when my little flip-covered cell phone began to ring. It was in the early days of cell phones when we really only used them for an emergency, and I had just left the office, so I knew it couldn't be my administrative assistant. And so I opened the phone with reluctance, and on the other end was my mother's voice, "Your father's in the hospital. They say it's serious." And I remember in that moment that the world just began to spin. I wasn't sure what I should do next. Do I
go into my visit and continue business as usual? Do I go on with the conversation and pretend that nothing is wrong, that nothing is now taking up the space in my mind? Do I leave immediately for Syracuse and get home? And I found myself frozen in place, remaining in my car and steeped in shock. I wonder if it felt like that. If as Jesus was walking along the road, as described in the 16th chapter of Matthew's gospel, just before our reading this morning, and began to tell his disciples that the Son of Man, the Messiah, their teacher, would suffer trial and be tortured, would be hung up on a tree and die a criminal's death, and then 3 days later rise again. I wonder if the shock just made their heads spin. If they tried to decipher just what was it that the rabbi was trying to say, maybe he was talking in parables again. The kingdom of heaven is like a rabbi who was killed for no reason. They just didn't get it. Peter had just confessed that Jesus was in fact the Messiah, the Son of God, the Anointed One, the one who would lead his people from oppression to glory, the one who would make all things new. And now he was saying that he was going to be ambushed and killed. Peter wasn't going to stand for it. God forbid it, he said. Jesus rebuked him. Get behind me, Satan. And the disciples are left in shock, world spinning, wondering. Like when the hospital calls and says, you might want to wake up the pastor too. Or when you go to work only to find out that the job is shutting down, you're not needed anymore, your skills and your experience, they're irrelevant, obsolete. Or you get a note or these days a text that says your relationship is dissolving. Or you get the diagnosis that you feared the most. And the world begins to spin and you're not sure of which way to turn next. That's where the disciples are this morning. That's where we enter in. 6 days later, chapter 17 begins. I made a mistake. The first three words are cut off in your bulletin, but chapter 17, verse 1 begins, 6 days later. 6 days since Jesus has shocked the world with this news. Since 6 days since he prophesied his death and resurrection, but note the disciples can't even hear that part. 6 days since their world began spinning, and so Jesus leads the disciples up the mountain. The disciples, three, reach the peak with their teacher, and it is there that Jesus is transfigured, this churchy word to say that in a moment, light radiates from the Messiah, a dazzling display of golden hues that blind the disciples with glory. And as Jesus' face shines like the sun, the disciples peeking through the fingers in the front of their face to shade the brightness. Then Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus as well, talking with him. What could it all possibly mean? Even for a book of stories of supernatural encounters with a living Lord, this one is extraordinary. Moses, the great liberator of the people Israel, who God spoke to in a burning bush and who spoke freedom for God's people enslaved and oppressed and faced Pharaoh with the promises of God, his only defense. Elijah, a prophet and great in word and deed, called on the Almighty to shut off the heavens with rain and then after 3 years called for them to fall again, fed a widow with food for 40 days and 40 nights with only enough cake that was good for a day. Defeated the prophets of Baal. So these giants now standing before the disciples on the great mountain. Isabella Bomfrey was born into slavery in Ulster County, New York. She escaped to freedom from slavery in 1826 and would later become the first black woman to win a lawsuit to free her son Peter, who himself had been sold into slavery. Isabella took the name Sojourner Truth in 1843 after hearing the Holy Spirit speak to her. And Truth went on to speak openly about the freedom of African descent folks, in addition to speaking on woman's suffrage. Her well-known speech, "Ain't I a Woman," was given to the Women's Rights Convention in 1851, and she remained a powerful voice throughout her life. Her words echo today, and she is a liberator and a Moses for people. The Reverend Dr. James Cone is revered as the founder of Black liberation theology, and for decades wrote and lectured about God's identification specifically with people of African descent in the United States who faced oppression. Dr. Cone wrote prophetically about God's love for the oppressed and God's passion for justice, teaching that the gospel is about the real liberation of people who are being oppressed today. In The Cross and the Lynching Tree, Dr. Cone implores the church to revisit and rethink the theology of the cross in the context of the United States. How does the church bear witness to the power of life in a world consumed by violence, and especially violence perpetuated on black and brown bodies? How does the church witness to the power of resurrection while ignoring suffering of those hanging on the lynching tree on the cross of our century? Sojourner Truth and Dr. Cone, liberator and prophet alike, are giants of faith, members of that great cloud of witnesses. Who are the giants of faith for you? Whose shoulders do you stand on? Who carried you to faith, nurtured you in grace, supported you when you have fallen? Who's been there to pick you up? Who has affirmed your being and reminded you that you are loved, that you are enough, that you are valued for who you are today? Who has set you free to be yourself? Or motivated you so that you might discover your purpose? This transfiguration appearance occurred just when the disciples needed it most. The world shook to the core as Jesus foreshadowed his death and resurrection, pointing to both the grief and glory of the cross. And in that moment of discernment, just how they will go forward, the disciples received not only affirmation of who Jesus is, but transformed by the light, by these giants, they are reminded that they too carry the promises and power of God's grace. Enlightened by their past, the disciples are empowered for their future. Enlightened by our past, we are empowered for our future. In times when the world is spinning, when it feels more like Good Friday than Easter Sunday, God raises us up again and shines brightly in us, with us, and for us. Remember the words that thundered from the holy on that mountain. As if the transformational light and the presence of the giants was not enough, the voice declares, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Listen to him." And what does Jesus have to say? "Rise up. Do not fear. Let us move forward down the mountain, enlightened by the past, empowered for our future. Though your world may be spinning, rise up. Do not fear. Though things may not be as you expected them to be or as you planned for them to be, rise up. Do not fear. Though it seems that everything is changing, that there is no longer a constant, rise up. Do not fear. And hear the promise that you do not sojourn alone. The truth that Jesus gives to his disciples, that it's not just an abandonment, but a promise of accompaniment to go down the mountain with them, to serve again in the valleys, and to go forward in mission and love on to Jerusalem. Rise up. Do not fear. Amen.
Thank you.
gathered together by Christ, let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 9 of your worship bulletins. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Trusting that God hears us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of those in need. Holy God, your loving power is at work among us. Rouse and embolden your church that we too might be transfigured. Set a light in the world for the sake of the gospel. Strengthen all communities of faith, including the Buffalo City Cluster. For grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Awesome God, you speak and the earth trembles. You display your majesty in the mountains and your mystery in the clouds. Grant that we discover your magnificence in all of your created world. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Ruler of nations, your reign extends across all human borders. Guide world leaders in justice and righteousness that they may work for equity for all people and protect the world that you have made. And we pray especially for all men and women serving in the armed forces and their families. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Gracious God, you are a refuge for all who are neglected and abused. Bring freedom to those who are oppressed and give comfort to those experiencing pain of any kind. We pray for all those we now name out loud and those we remember in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of Moses and Elijah, you made your dwelling place at the top of a mountain with Jesus and his disciples. Dwell also in this congregation, that all who enter this community might be transformed by your dazzling brilliance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Loving God, watch over all of us as we pray for the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially today for Madison and Gracelyn. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Everlasting God, you offer eternal life to all your children. Thank you for the witness of those who lived and died in the faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that you are able to accomplish more than we even dare to ask, we bring these prayers before you, believing in your grace revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be always with you. Share a sign of that peace with one another. Please rise. Let us pray together. God of wonder, you formed us in our mother's womb, and from your good earth you bring forth this bread and wine. We place them on your table, together with our lives and all that you have made. Open the heavens to us and pour out your spirit. We wait for your mercy. We long for your peace. We hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, our banquet of life. Amen. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. If you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthening you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray together. Faithful God, you have kept your promise to us in this meal, nourishing us with the gift of salvation. Now send your servants forth in peace, that we may testify to your goodness and share the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Gracious God, whose mercy endures from generation to generation, as the Magi set out from Bethlehem, going home by another road, bless those who go forth to share your word and sacrament with our sisters and brothers who are sick, homebound, or in prison. In your love and care, nourish and strengthen those to whom we bring this communion, that through the body and blood of your Son, we may all know the hope of your promised coming in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And before I leave you with this benediction, I just want to take one more moment to thank the Orchard Park Chorale and our instrumentalists for coming and joining us this morning. Thank you. May Christ, the wisdom and power of God and the source of our life together, keep you united in mind and purpose. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Let your light shine. Thanks be to God.